Welcome everyone, it's the Auckland Cricket Podcast. We are back and this time we are doing the full-on World Cup special. We've got everything from all the teams, who's in them, who the players to watch are. We're going to pick our players of the tournament, who we think is going to win, who we think is going to crash and burn. And we've even got some late breaking news on what the Black Caps have been up to on their way to India. Joining me in the pod this afternoon, it's going to get confusing, it's Neil and Neil.
Howdy.
Hello.
Okay, well let's just quickly start with the Black Caps because this is happening as we speak. By the time you hear this, it might have turned into an absolute nothing. But we've heard via the web that Tim Southee has been a busy boy on the plane over to, allegedly, I like to say, allegedly.
Let's just cover our asses.
On the plane to India, there has been an incident. You can see the inverted quotes around that as I say it, where he has, according to him, chatted to a woman. According to perhaps other sources, something more might have gone on. Interesting start to the Black Caps tour, I have to say.
I was just coming back into the office on the radio, and it was on ZM, and they were saying there's a Black Cap player allegedly involved in a lewd incident, and I was just waiting for Jesse Ryder's name. I was 100% sure it was going to be Jesse, and I just couldn't believe it when Tim Southee's name came out there. But the story seems to be growing on its own accord, though. I heard something on the radio that it was the captain's daughter as well, or something like that.
No, that's news to me, to be honest.
There you go. Just as we speak, press release has come through from which has quotes from Dave Curry saying that he's done a full debrief with Tim Southee and that he apparently chatted to this woman for a long period of time, but nothing untoward happened in the slightest. So, squeaky clean, apparently.
The grand New Zealand cover-up, perhaps.
Perhaps. Anyway, I think perhaps mountain, molehill, all those kind of things could be ascribed to it. Good to see Tim, though, was keeping his hand in while he was getting over there, getting into the spirit of the World Cup. Speaking of the World Cup, let's get busy. Everybody has been out with their notebooks all week and been doing vast amounts of research. So we're not going to let it go to waste. We're going to give you chapter and verse on all 14 teams present at the World Cup. For those of you out there who haven't caught up with the World Cup this time around, it's a bit of a change of scenario. None of this stupid, 15 groups of four or whatever it was, then go through to Super 6 and carry over points and against who you didn't play and blah, blah, blah. Pretty simple. Back to the glory days of 1992 World Cup, where you've got a couple of groups and you just get to play all the teams in your group and you go straight to semis, don't you?
And then finals? Super 8s.
Oh, it's still Super 8s?
Yeah.
So
no,
I'm catching
sorry,
up as well.
Quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Quarter, semis, final.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be able to understand that. Okay, so who are we going to start with? Neil, who have you been looking out for us?
Okay, so if we start, I guess we'll start with the ones that are probably in the news and build up to the real exciting ones, the real deep research ones. So England are obviously in the news just now, just finished pretty disappointing one day series against Australia. News today that they've lost their arguably best one day player in Owen Morgan.
Yeah, that's a big blow,
isn't
it?
With a broken finger. But I guess from an Auckland cricket point of view, at least Ravi Bapara gets to join the squad as the replacement. So
yeah, it
gives us a bit of interest, I suppose. I guess star players for them will be Jonathan Trott, who seems to be in the runs, and James Anderson is the leader of the bowling attack. They do have a few issues, though. Not really sure who else, apart from Anderson, is really a good one-day bowler. Matt Prior doesn't seem to be working at the top of the order, but he is the only wicketkeeper in the squad. And now that Morgan was the reserve wicketkeeper, they have to play Prior, so...
Oh, they could just do what New Zealand does and just sort of pick one out of a hat.
And then Paul Collingwood, who's been one of their best players, is struggling to maintain his place in the team batting-wise, but bowling-wise he seems to probably be quite useful on Indian wickets. So in England, potentially a dark horse, not really sure how they'll go. They're probably flattering to deceive at the minute, so...
Morgan, I think, will be a really big loss for them, actually, won't he? No offence to Ravi, who I'm sure will perform capably, but he was that sort of X-factor guy that they had, really, in the middle order. He could hit a big ball. Peterson will have to really step up for them, I would say.
That affects the balance of the team quite massively, doesn't it? Because Collingwood, at the moment, had been used as pretty much a specialist bowler, but now with Morgan being injured, either they're going to have to bring Ravi in to bat in there, or... shuffle Collingwood up and use the likes of Yardy and Wright in that middle order, which could potentially affect how they go.
Doesn't sound as good, does it?
No.
Okay, next.
Well, next we'll start a bit closer to home. So we've got Pakistan as well. So we've seen a lot of them recently. A lot of young talent there, and obviously we've seen the kind of threat that Afridi and Razak can bring with the bat, and then been very handy with the ball. So Pakistan are always one of those teams that everyone kind of forgets about at these tournaments, and then all of a sudden they're in the semis and in with a chance of getting to the final, and they look like they could do it again, even with the three guys gone for minimum five years.
They're perennial dark horses, aren't they? Because nobody ever really knows what you're going to get on Pakistan on any given day. So, but they have the talent to beat absolutely anybody, literally. So.
Ahmed Shahzad looks like David Warner with a bit of technique.
Right.
He's one of my breakout player of the tournament picks. I haven't gone player of the tournament, but... one to watch, I think, Ahmed Shahzad. Next, I guess we'll do Sri Lanka. So, again, another team that probably an ageing team now, it would be fair to say, without any real young guys coming through that are world beaters, but they've got that deep experience with Sangakkara and Jaya Wardena to provide the runs, and then bowling, they've got Malinga, who's still reasonably young and a threat, and then I think the whole story of the World Cup will really be on Muthiah Murulitharan's kind of swan song. So they'll want to see him go out on a high note. But again, probably a lot of all-rounders in the Sri Lankan team, I'd say. So again, it'll just come down to whether they have the bowling to bowl a team out, I suppose.
And no Vass or Jayasuriya, which is a first time in a very long time, isn't it?
Yeah, and Mendes probably isn't the mystery bowler that he was in the past.
He was really touted early on, wasn't he? He was the next big thing, and he seems to really not have lived up to that in too many ways at all.
Yeah, not quite the X factor that he was expected to be. I guess India as well, they'll be really under the pressure being at home. There'll be a lot of pressure on the Indian team to succeed, and they're one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. They can have an incredible day or they can have a pretty dire day, as they seem to have in South Africa. I mean, again, they've got all the talent in the world and some of the best players in Sehwag and Gambhir and Tendulkar and Singh. But
I read that team lineup, and in most sides, there's a few that I had a look at. You go, nah, don't really know him. But there's only about two, I think, in that whole Indian lineup that weren't household names. It's an incredibly strong lineup they have there.
I think the main challenge for India will be coping with the pressure of the expectation of the people of India, with it being a home World Cup.
But let me say something, because our organisation is so good, I thought I was doing India as well. So I've done some research on India too. And Dhoni actually said, because that's what everybody's been saying about India, is that it's going to be so hard to win at home because the pressure is just going to be immense. But he's actually quoted as saying, in the last 3 years, we have changed the meaning of pressure to responsibility, and we take it as an added responsibility, which I thought was an interesting way of looking at it. And he's very much downplaying he's not saying they're going to win. He's just saying that obviously we want to make it to the final, and we'll take every game as it comes. If we do all the things and all those systems and put everything in place, then... you know, we've got good chance to win games. So very, very understated.
Again, I'd say for India, bowling's going to be their main issue, because after Zaheer Khan and Harbhajan Singh, then bowling-wise, again, they could leak runs at ends.
And they've just lost Praveen Kumar,
mm-hmm.
and Srisant has come in to replace.
Yeah.
So
finally, my final team. This is the one that I've put the most research in, perhaps.
Fittingly so.
Perhaps back-end forwards, but... it's the mighty Canadians. When you really break down the Canadian team, we've got seven Indians in the squad, two Pakistanis, a West Indian, a Sri Lankan, an Australian, and a Ugandan. So
kind
it's,
of can-
it's
Canada
a bit of a
name only.
United Nations, but I've highlighted the three Canadians that are in the Canadian squad. And so we've got John Davidson, 9 World Cup games, actually born in Canada, but played first class in Australia.
He's the buffer, isn't he?
Mm.
He smashes
40
it.
Years old, described on Crick Info as simply the best Canadian cricketer ever.
Well, it's probably a fair call.
That's a name tag.
Let's not comment on the competition there, but yeah.
Then we've got Nitesh Kumar. Again, not a very Canadian-sounding name, but born in Canada.
Right.
Only 16 years old, heavily hyped.
The youngest man at the World Cup?
Surely.
I would say, he's going to
be
close. Heavily hyped, Nitesh Kumar. And then finally, and perhaps my favourite, Zubin Sarkari, or otherwise known on his Crick Info page as Zub.
So that's Z-U-K. So
Z-U-B-I-N, Sarkari.
Oh, so it's not Z-Z?
No.
Oh, shame.
So
that would have been awesome.
Zoob, as he's known, again, not very Canadian, but born in Canada. Specialist skill, according to his Crick Info profile and a quote from the ex-Canadian captain, sledging. Zoob's in the team as a batsman with a highest score of 49, but he's there to get in the batsman's face.
He's possibly the only specialist sledger in the entire World Cup, I'd hazard to say. Too many other teams have picked a man, well, not solely, but primarily for his sledging ability.
Since the Australians haven't picked my boy Usman Khawaja, I'm adopting Zubin Sarkari as my player to follow in this tournament.
You can put him on your fantasy team now?
Oh.
Yeah, no, you're not prepared to commit that much.
Possibly,
yeah.
Possibly not that enthusiastic, but because you don't get points for classic sledges. I might lobby Crick Info for that.
All right, that's a brilliant roundup. Thank you, Neil. We will keep things humming along and move over to Neil Mark 2. Who have you been looking at?
First team I got was Australia. And big news, obviously, within the last couple of days is that Mike Hussey and Nathan Horowitz won't be flying out. Mike Hussey is quite...
Too pleased about it.
Not at all. Yeah, I think he should get over it, quite frankly. But, yeah, you look at it from a selector's point of view when, you know, why risk taking an injured player? But, yeah, anyway, it's a different story.
But it is one of those World Cups, well, this time around, we could potentially got more leeway perhaps to carry an injured player for a couple of games, haven't you? Because there's more early round games than there were previously. I don't think it's the right decision either, but I guess maybe that's what he was banking on.
Yeah, indeed. And the fact that obviously, as he says, Simons went over last time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I suppose if it was a team that didn't have as much depth as Australia and he didn't have someone like Callum Ferguson to replace him, maybe they would have stuck with him. But
I think that they're probably quite conscious that they already have Ricky Ponting, who, although he fit and everything, again in the first game, if he gets hit in the finger and it breaks again, then he's gone, so they can't really afford to have him and Hussey. So
they look like right muppets if they were down to 13 after one or two games, wouldn't they?
Not too many other surprises in the squad except for John Hastings. I thought he sort of came out of nowhere and he played all the games against England and didn't really do anything. I'm not sure why he's there, to be honest. If he's there as an all-rounder, well, David Hussey and Stephen Smith, and you could even argue Mitchell Johnson as an all-rounder, have it all over him.
He's much more a bowling all-rounder, though, isn't he?
Definitely, yeah.
So, I think it's good that they've brought Jason Crazier back. Glad they haven't taken a punt.
Is he in the World Cup?
He's replaced Clarks.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, he'll definitely offer something in terms of wicket-taking more than Horowitz would. Yeah, so I suppose it's whether you want that or whether you want somebody like a Horowitz who in his 10 overs may only take one wicket but might only concede 40, 45 runs.
Exciting.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And they're players to watch, Eric, and Shane Watson, who's in some great form, just won the Alan Border medal for the second time in a row, and a resurgent Brett Lee, especially now with Horowitz gone, I reckon, and Mitchell Johnson not being able to be relied upon, Tate likely to break down at any point. Brett Lee's going to be the spearhead of that attack, and how he performs now will probably go a long way in terms of how Australia goes in the tournament. And Callum Ferguson, undoubted talent, if he gets game time, depends on the team structure obviously, then yeah, he could potentially be another one. Zimbabwe was the next team, and the major news with was Sean Irvine decided to pull the plug. Initially he did commit, but then he decided to change his mind, so he could qualify as a local player over at Hampshire, I believe it is.
So any of those guys who stepped away and or were banned, however it worked, are there any of them come back in?
Only, I can't remember if Taibu was involved that early, but he's the only one at the moment that has gone away and come back.
So it's a whole new wave of Zimbabwean cricket.
Yeah, indeed.
Perhaps we should ask Strangy if he got an SOS.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Major issue with Zimbabwe's team is that they've only chosen one specialist opening batsman in Brendan Taylor. So the guy that's replaced Sean Irvine, a bloke called Tino Mawoyo, if that's the right pronunciation. He's a specialist opener. Whether he gets to start or not, who knows? So Charles Coventry, who scored that 194 not out not too long ago, him or Taibu or man with a great name, Regis Chakavva or something.
Beautifully pronounced.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, they'll be up there. Obviously, they're not going to progress out of pool play, but at the same time, they've got Ray Price, who for a little while has been up there in terms of the best one-day international bowlers in the world, and in conditions that may suit him.
How old is he?
34, I believe.
Oh, okay. Thought he was ancient, but okay.
Mm-hmm. And the captain, Elton Chigumbura, who's a hard-hitting all-rounder, can surprise a little bit with the ball. He'll have to lead from the front if they're going to do anything. I know that's cliche, but, what can you say about a team like that?
We appreciate cliches in the pod.
Oh, we do, yeah. Next team, Kenya. One or two surprises in that squad.
I thought so.
Yeah, well, bloke that's played club cricket in Auckland, Raghia Bhaga.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
He played county cricket, yeah.
Yeah, he missed out. Cornwall boy, that's the one, yeah. He unfortunately missed out. The biggest surprise, though, was the non-inclusion of Hiren Viraya, who was probably the best spinner to have ever come out of Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
No offence to Asif Karim, but...
sure he won't take any.
Hope not, yeah. Yeah, so especially given the subcontinent conditions, that was a bit of a surprise and affected the balance of my fantasy team, truth be told. But but anyway, Steve Tickler will be playing in his fifth World Cup. Thomas Odoyo, his fourth. So they'll be relying on the experience of them.
They must both be about 40 or something, isn't
it? Tickler's 38 and Odoyo's... He's a lot younger. He's about 4 or 5 years younger than
John
that.
Davison's still winning at 40.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The best Canadian ever.
Mm-hmm. And their player to watch, I reckon, is opening batsman Siren Waters. Great Kenyan name. 20 years old and... Yeah, he looks like, by all accounts, a batsman with some potential. He scored 74 against South Africa last year, I think. So, potentially him. And lastly, Bangladesh. Pretty settled squad there. Mashrafi Mortaz is the only notable exclusion. That's because of injury. One notable inclusion is Mohammad Ashraful. His form has been so up and down. But, obviously, his talent is there for all to see. So, he's probably been picked on the hope that he'll perform playing in conditions that suit him. And they, I reckon, will make the quarterfinals, given that they've got the West Indies in their group who are complete and utter crap and haven't beaten a Test nation in a one-day international since 2009. Shakib Al-Hassan and Tamim Iqbal, captain and vice-captain, players to watch there, no doubt, the two best players in the team. And Mushfiqur Rahim could be a bit of a surprise package there. Little wicketkeeper. Last World Cup, he batted at number 3 against India and led them to victory. He gets shuffled around the order quite a bit, but he's a fantastic batsman. Very, very chirpy in the field behind the stumps. So, yeah, it's great value to that team. So, Bangladesh could be a bit of a surprise package.
Tamim Iqbal was actually quoted on Crick Info as saying that his favourite book of all time was Harry Potter, and he'd learnt a lot of life lessons from it. So
how to use a wand. Yeah, could come in handy. Yeah. There'd have to be a good chance. You'd have to see playing, apart from the game against India, I think all their games at home, aren't they?
Bangladesh, I'll say yes.
I'm pretty sure they are. Anyway,
in Bangladesh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Bangladesh, India, and Sri Lanka.
I thought it was all in India.
Another well-educated pod. Right, I'm going to quickly rip through mine. I'll do mine very briefly. I'm just going to start with the big boys. The Netherlands are in... All my teams are in Group B, actually. And I guess the big name here is Neil's favourite Dutchman, Ryan ten Deschade, who obviously was down here for Canterbury in the HIV Cup. He then went over to play for Tasmania in the Big Bash. And I thought he was a fantastic player, actually. He was outstanding for Canterbury, and I think he's also pretty useful for Tasmania too. He's been playing for Essex for ages. The Netherlands have actually got a few players who've played some decent cricket. There's a guy called Alexei Kervezi, who plays for Worcestershire.
He is in my fantasy team.
Oh, there you go. Tom Cooper.
Next Graham Hatt.
All right. What? So really good domestic level, but could never cut it the next level up. Okay, brilliant. Tom Cooper has played for South Australia. So they've got a few guys who've actually played at a decent level. They've also seemingly, I think, got perhaps a couple of imports going on, as there's a guy called Adel Raja, there's Nudasa Bukhari, and there's also Atsi Buurman. So yeah,
well, coupled with the fact that Cooper's an Aussie,
yes, potentially.
And, yeah, the captain's a New Zealander.
Is he?
Peter
Byrne.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. And Tendulkar is South African.
Yeah, so slight
lots
mix
of imports.
Slight mix. They could actually be capable of an upset, though. They toppled England at the last 2020, was the one before one, yeah, and longer form of the game, obviously going to be a bit trickier. But, you know, who knows? They could be good for maybe one win. They've won a couple of games in their three appearances.
I would say they won't get destroyed. They won't be Canada or Kenyan.
As for most of these small teams, though, they'll probably suffer on the bowling front in terms of having enough decent bowlers. Interesting quote from their coach, and I failed to write his name
Peter
down.
Peter Drennan.
Yes.
Who also coached Scotland.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was from somebody involved. Anyway, it was from somebody within the Netherlands setup. And he says, we have around 7,000 professional cricketers in the Netherlands. I'm assuming that he's made a slight cock up. Because I don't think you have 7,000 in England, which has got to have the most professional cricketers anywhere in the world. Presumably he means playing the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was quite interesting. Next, move on to some of the minnows, South Africa. This is a pretty good lineup here, actually. You have to say they're one of the favourites, apart from the fact that they're horrible chokers and never win in the subcontinent. Apart from that, though, you've got the likes of Graham Smith, Hashim Amla, AB de Villiers, JP Duminy, Jack Callis, Morne Morkel, Dale Steyn, Tsitsobe. You've also got the likes of their secret weapon, Imran Tahir, who is there. We don't want to show him to anybody because he's our super leg spinner bowler who's going to take loads of wickets. So it'll be very interesting to see how he goes. He's 35 or something. He's been
good
around.
Good pod memory, Ian.
Yeah, for ages. He's obviously
only just eligible, though.
Yeah, he's only just become eligible at the beginning of the year. He's a Pakistani, he's played in England, played in South Africa for about 5 years. So interesting to see how he goes. There's also a guy called Fat. Well, I presume it's Fat, not
Faf,
Fat. Or Faf. Faf.
Yeah. Faf Duplessis.
Fat would have been much better. Faf Duplessis, who apparently big reps on, very attacking batsman, bowls a bit of leg spin, and is slightly Jonty Rhodes-like in the field as well. So
IPL bound.
Yeah, presuming he does is a first 11 member, he could be one to watch as well. Right, moving on to some of the also-rans. West Indies, hard to see them really doing an awful lot. Darren Sami is captain for reasons.
Everyone's down in the Windies.
That's because they're all they've got. I mean, I've tried to pick out the big names here, and all I could come up with was.
I don't even have them on my disappoints list.
Oh, Dwayne Bravo, Chanderpaul, Gayle, Pollard, Sarwan, and that's it, really. I mean, Chris Gayle can be good, but 2020, I think, is much more his game these days. Pollard is the new it man in terms of the player that everybody wants, but they want him for 2020. They don't really...
You just named five guys that can bowl him back.
Chanderpaul doesn't bowl.
Oh, apart from Sarwan.
But, yeah, Chanderpaul, I think, is on the wane.
Suleiman Ben.
Sarwan is very inconsistent. Gayle, as I say, will go hard for 10, 15 overs and then probably get out. They just don't have the consistency. They don't have the bowling lineup either, I don't think. But it's some players to watch. There's Darren Bravo, who's younger brother of Dwayne. A young guy, apparently, from, I think it was Jeffrey Dujon, saying that he is huge things are expected of him and he could be a really good player for them and plays in a similar fashion to his brother. But apart from that, as I say, I don't see much happening for them. Now, my other one was India, but we've already covered them, so that's fine. We haven't done New Zealand, obviously, because we've pretty much gone over their team ad nauseam over the past few weeks. And that means we must be missing somebody.
Ireland.
Yeah, you were meant to be doing Ireland, Neil.
Thank you, we're meant to be doing Ireland, and that's where the India double confusion came.
No, because I said you could do the whole
that's
home
right.
countries.
You did. My bad.
Well, we can cover off Ireland. I suppose the big news with them was their English guy, Ed Joyce. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, he's in the squad whilst Hamish Marshall missed out. And I believe, obviously I haven't done the research, but from what I gather, they're pretty much full strength. And they were the surprise packages last time, of course. And I think they pretty much retained the same sort of core lineup.
They
so
do.
Apart from Morgan?
They've still got Boyd.
Oh, Morgan.
Morgan played last time, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
No.
Yes, he did, didn't he? He went straight afterwards, I thought.
Oh, did he? They've got Boyd Rankin, the big bowler who will open the bowling, who plays county cricket for Warwickshire. And then they have the two O'Brien brothers who will be handy, a bowler and Niall O'Brien, the wicketkeeper. And then they've got the experienced older heads, the Aussie guys and Porterfield that are there. But I think the Netherlands will be better than them in the kind of lower grade of teams.
This format really doesn't help the smaller sides, does it? Because in the old format, they could, if they won one game, then
shit,
they were right in it. They could possibly sneak into the next round.
Yeah, and the 2020 format as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but this format where they've got to play six games really does promote consistency, and they're going to struggle to win. You've got to win, probably three games at least to get through the quarters.
They'll be better than Canada and Kenya, but they won't be as good as the Netherlands.
Except having said that, you only have to come in the top four out of your group of seven, don't you, to make a quarter final?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've done the teams in absolute fullness. So let's get on to the important stuff. First of all, who's going to win, fellas?
New Zealand. I'll throw it out there now.
Neil, wake up.
Yeah.
You're dreaming. Really? Do you fervently believe that, or is that just your heart talking?
I think it's more my heart, but I can't bet against my own team. I've already put 20 on them with the TAB at $12.
Mm.
Not that I'm promoting that sort of behaviour, but yeah.
Bet responsibly, people.
Don't be Ryan Tandy.
Okay, so if you weren't supporting a black, fervent black cap supporter and weren't supporting New Zealand, who do you think might be the biggest competition?
Who will they play in the final?
Yeah, that's right.
Before Hussey and Horwitz were injured, I was going to say Australia, but now that they're gone, I reckon Sri Lanka.
Mm.
From a personal point of view. Obviously, you two have slightly different opinions there.
Well, no, we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
I might be the same, but Neil?
I'm going to take South Africa to win. I think this is their year.
They're going to cast off the choking tag.
I think so. I think they have the best squad by far. And I'm going to take the two green teams, Pakistan as well. They're my two
Pakistan.
Picks.
Hmm. See, I think it's just really hard for any non-subcontinent team to win over there, I reckon, in a World Cup. So I don't think South Africa can do it. I think they've got a very good team, but I don't think they will. I think it's between India and Sri Lanka. I don't know. I have something about Sri Lanka to say that they might do it. But if India do live up to what they are capable of, then Jesus, they should just smoke it, because they have, on paper, the best team by a long chalk. I mean, that side should score over 300 every single game.
So the pod is taking its colours to South Africa, New Zealand and India officially.
Officially?
The
yes.
Three-man.
Okay, so who are going to be the stars of the tournament, fellas? Who are the guys who are going to, you know, people will say, oh, yep, he emerged at the 2011 World Cup as the man.
I'd like to think that Brendan McCullum might, if he's back up.
Opening... 10 years in the making.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, 10 years too late. But yeah, if he's up there opening the batting, then he's probably up there in terms of our best players of spin as well. So yeah, I feel that him and Ryder were the best chance from New Zealand, and seeing that they're going to win the tournament, play the tournament's got to come from them. Otherwise, yeah, I'd imagine that the likes of Sangakkara, Jaya Wardena, if Virat Kohli gets a run ahead of Suresh Raina, then I feel that he might, you know, he's already scored a bucket load of runs, but is currently playing in the shadow of the other guys on the team. He could potentially emerge and, yeah, go great guns.
Neil?
I think I've already said Imran Tahir, but I think Morne van Wyk plays for
the keeper
for South Africa. Yeah, I'm not sure. They're not sure whether he'll keep or not, because they quite like de Villiers keeping.
Yeah,
but they might play van Wyk as just like a floating batsman. He's done pretty well on the occasions he's got to go. So I think he's a pretty good boundary hitter lower down. So I think he could be one. Shahzad as well from Pakistan, I think, is a threat as well. And I actually think Nathan McCullum from New Zealand, because, I mean, he's been biffing it with a bat and been bowling pretty well as well. I think he could really have a real good tournament.
Okay. Well, I've only got one name to add to that. My guy, who I think is already a bit of a name anyway, but I think he could be huge, is AB de Villiers. I think that he's got the potential to really blaze it and put up some big scores and dominate the tournament. And as already mentioned, he is going to be probably behind the stumps as well, so he could be absolutely crucial for South Africa. So he's my pick. So we've said who's going to win it, we say who's going to be the big names of the tournament. Who are we going to basically fall over? Who's going to disappoint to disappoint potentially?
I've kind of gone totally against what you and Neil have said. I had New Zealand down as a disappointment because
I think they'll be a disappointment.
I don't think that they're
good enough.
Yeah, they don't even look like.
Can you be disappointing though if you come in ranked at 7? You've won 2 out of your last 16 games.
I guess coming from being in New Zealand right now, when people going, oh, we'll be all right when we get to the tournament. John Wright will be fine. Or we know what our best team is. We just beat Pakistan in our last game. We're on a roll. You're only as good as your last game. Bloody, bloody, bloody. I think they'll be crap because I just don't think they'll be able to bowl a team out.
Okay, fair enough.
And I also think the pressure will get to India. I think they'll get out of the group easily, but I think they'll lose in the quarters or the semis. I don't think they'll
go all the way.
I don't think they'll go all the way, and that'll be a disappointment for them and for all the other millions of Indians.
Okay. Neil?
Well, West Indies not progressing past group stage won't be a disappointment, given that they're now officially ranked 9th in the world. I'd go with England and South Africa, to be honest. That's partly a case of the draw, given that New Zealand, Sri Lanka, Australia and Pakistan all happen to be on the other side, so they're going to come up against them in the quarters, obviously. So England and South Africa, I don't see progressing past quarter final stage. In South Africa's case, I mean, the spinners are too much of an unknown quantity for me, and if the batting can get on top of Dale Steyn, then purely from a bowling point of view, I reckon it's all over for them. In England, I think are just in too much disarray, not so much in terms of the current results, but with the whole uncertainty around who's even going to be in the squad at the time, and the fact that they've been in Australia since, is it end of October, of them? They would have been away for like 5 months or something.
2 days
like
at home now, and then away.
No, I totally agree with you. I think England are, I feel sorry for them in that scheduling is crazy for them. I think for them to perform at the World Cup, and it was probably not tailored to that, it was probably tailored to win the Ashes, and they achieved that. But in terms of them being successful at the World Cup, I think it's a disaster. I think they've got very little chance, because most of those guys are just going to be shot now, they'll be knackered. So I think it'll be a big disappointment as well. I'm also picking the other side in that series to be a big disappointment as well. I don't back Australia at all. I think they'll miss like Hussey, they probably could lose Ponting very early on. Shane Watson doesn't fire. I just don't think they have the all-round talent to go all the way. They'll make it out into the quarterfinals, possibly even to the semis, but I'm predicting somebody will knock them over, probably one of the home sides at that point, India maybe, or Sri Lanka. So those are my picks.
I think we've covered everything then. all the various options. I think if the listeners, even, because they're not going to be reading the podcast, but the listeners want to have to say, I think we should put this up as the poll on the website, Ian.
Who is going to win the World Cup / be a disappointment / player of the tournament? No, we'll pick one of them anyway. Well, I think that pretty much covers every aspect of the World Cup. It starts on February the 14th.
19th?
Does it? Yes, it does.
Imagine it starting on Valentine's Day. No one would be able to go out on it.
So that's the end of next week, isn't it?
Saturday.
And
yeah.
New Zealand's first game is the day after that, I believe, the 20th.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay. So much to look forward to. It's going to be huge. We will be reporting in as things go, telling you what's going on and all our thoughts on how things are progressing. Just a very quick word on the Aces, because we have been going a while, so we'll keep it brief. But good on the boys. They came back after losing to Canterbury. We're pretty sure that they're done and dusted. A little while ago, they had Otago 7 down with about 13 and over to get, so I'm pretty sure they've nailed it. Which means that they go to play Canterbury.
Let's just throw something out there. Should there be an injury in the Black Caps squad, has T-Mac done enough to be picked as a one-day player for New Zealand?
Or Rob Nicol, for that matter.
Well, how good were we, though? I have to just quickly say, two topics we talked about last week, Lou Vincent being on fire and possible Black Cap. He's hit 250 since then. Both at running ball. Tim Mack scored 161 off 138 today. One of the best
innings. With one foot?
Yeah, with one foot, he batted over almost 100 of that, I think, was with a runner. And he's on fire. So, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. With 340 for 5 off 50 overs, an awesome score. And, hey, let's hope the boys can go down to Christchurch on Sunday and bag our second trophy of the season. I think after that performance, they'll be really going high on confidence, and hope they can deal to Canterbury after they bowled them over last week. So let's hope for that one. That is enough from us. As I say, we will be back in a week's time, where we will have probably some more World Cup build up. We'll also talk about hopefully an Aces win in the final on Sunday, and doubtless loads of other things to talk about. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you in a week.